It's wonderful to welcome you to our first IGG weekend away of this new academic year and our first ever IGG weekend away here at Ashburnham. And the first, I think, of many, unless the Lord returns before we're back here in November, and then again in February, and then in March, and you might as well just move here. And if you came in the dark and wake up tomorrow early, you'll see why it would be worth staying here if you had a chance. It is a beautiful place. So if you're here for the first time at Ashburnham, a very warm welcome. And I think quite quickly you'll come to realise why many of us who've been here before think that it's a better place for us to be than where we've been going over previous years. It's not quite as swanky, but it's much nicer in so many other ways. Enjoy. There's lots to look forward to this weekend. But as I said on Tuesday, this is going to be a weekend away where we're going to have to work quite hard. So thank you in advance for being willing to do that and for all you're going to do, indeed, over the coming year. I hope this weekend will really help us to fulfill our duties as IGG leaders over this coming year. And if you're new to IGG, this is going to be a weekend where there's a lot of new stuff. See if you can stay awake now. In one sense, more importantly, stay awake tomorrow morning, where we're going to dive into the books we're going to be teaching. So I would advise everyone to have an early night tonight, if at all possible. If you've had a little look at this booklet, you'll see some names on page four. In fact, Paul just said he's been looking through and he was worried that this is the handout just for tonight's session. You'll be pleased to hear it's not. You may think, where's Paul's name here? And it's not the Paul under George. In fact, where's my name? There's a number of names not on here, so the life team are not here. If you're on the life team, we're so pleased you're in this room. You are supposed to be on this. I just forgot to make sure it happened. So welcome, whether you're leading John or Overview, whether you're leading a Mandarin or an English-speaking group, a student or a workers group, whether you're on the life team, it is wonderful that we can spend this weekend together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn to page 14. Father, thank you so much for everything that we have to look forward to over these next few days. We thank you that we look forward to knowing that you are with us. Thank you for the chance to get out of London. Thank you for bringing us here safely. Pray for any who are still on the road that you'd bring them here in good time and in good heart. And pray that as we have this first brief session now, that you would help us to focus our attention where it should be on you, that you would speak to us through your word, and that you would thrill us afresh with your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask in his name. Amen. Page 14, you may well be feeling really sleepy. It's been a long week for many of us. Some have been starting new work or new studies, and there's been a whole load of stuff going on this week. And you're sitting in a room that feels quite mellow and dark. It's quite hard to stay awake. And you look at this paper and you think, am I really that tired? It looks a bit fuzzy. You're not as tired as it looks, okay? You're not as tired as it looks. I hope you can read at the top of the page. It says, if this year of IGG proves successful, what would it look like, or what might it look like in 5 years' time? Just turn to the person next to you, twos and threes, and have a think about that question. What would it look like if this year has been successful, 5 years' time, what might it look like? If you weren't able to be with us on Tuesday, you missed the very good news that I was able to announce, which this year Michelle is very kindly going to be, I was going to say agreed to, I think you did agree, to administrate the IGG evening. And Michelle has very kindly agreed to read our few verses for tonight. So Hebrews chapter 12, it's printed on the sheet. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Why don't you stand up?
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Dean Karneses. Have you heard of Dean Karneses? I hope I've got that right in terms of pronunciation. I think so. American runner. I haven't heard of him. Hussein Bolt, have you heard of him? Yeah, everyone's heard of him. He runs pretty fast. In fact, under 10 seconds, 100 metres, no problem. incredible, but to my mind, Dean Karneses should be more well known than Usain Bolt. He should be. Bolt runs fast for 10 seconds. Karneses can run for 10 hours. In fact, for more than 10 hours. In 2005, he ran 560 kilometres in just over 80 hours without sleeping once. In 2006, Dean Karneses, he ran 50 marathons in 50 states of America over 50 consecutive days. Now, don't panic. I'm not suggesting this year, IGG team, we're going to take up running and we're not going to be like Bolt, we're going to be like Dean. No, but I do want us to consider that everything we think about this weekend is not just about the next 12 months. What we care about is something much, much longer. On Tuesday evening, we thought very briefly about the strategic nature of the IGG ministry. We thought about how incredible it is to be living in London with so many thousands of men and women from all over the world here studying and working, and we have this chance within that community to gather people into the church family and to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grow and to be those who are disciples of Jesus Christ sent out to make disciple-making disciples amongst the nations here in London and then for many years to come all over the world. It is an incredible ministry for us to be involved in. This evening, I want to suggest that what we're thinking about this weekend, what we're involved in over this coming year, is actually far more straightforward than it might seem over this weekend. There's lots for us to think about, but actually what we're caring about is very straightforward. It's uncomplicated. With IGG, we're not primarily interested in an amazing community, although I think we do have that. I genuinely think, if you're listening on the recording and you're not part of IGG, you might laugh at this point, but I genuinely think we have the best community within the St. Helens Church family. I think it's without doubt. And why is that? Well, there's probably any number of reasons, but a simple reason is, for many of the brothers and sisters, St. Helens community is our family here in London. And so it takes on this extra special sense. And because of that, people are seeing each other all the time, and it's a wonderful thing. And that community is very strong as a result. And that's a great thing. And we want to do all we can to not be complacent about that, but to build a strong network of relationships that won't only be helpful this year, but for many years to come back in their regions as people head back all over the world. But actually, that's not what we're primarily interested in. We're not primarily interested in the perfect curriculum to train up these people to send out. Yes, we care about equipping guys with good Bible handling skills, giving people solid, clear convictions, gospel ministry convictions. Yes, we've got some great IGG lunches to look forward to, some wonderful weekends away and training days, Bible in a day and so on. But they're not the key. No, there's something far more essential that we are seeking to do within the IGG ministry. Before we get to that, let's first remind ourselves of the context we're in, both the context that the original readers of this letter or sermon to the Hebrews, but also the context that we find ourselves in. It's the similar context, and that is the constant pressure that we face, the constant pressure to live for this world. Many of us are familiar, I'm sure, with chapter 10, verses 32-39, where we get this snapshot of these original readers, what they were like. And we see that in the past, if you've got a Bible, you might want to look back, they were publicly shamed. And yet they joyfully accepted the plundering of their possessions. These original readers, they at first were willing to partner with those who were suffering for Christ, people who were in prison, and yet this church were willing to stand with them despite the shame that it brought them. They were full of compassion. They were willing to take risks. Why? Well, they knew that they possessed something better, something far more wonderful than the world has to offer. Isn't that what we long for the guys in our groups? Obviously, we don't know who they are yet, but that is what we, I hope, will want for one another across IGG, that people will leave London and one day be willing to suffer for Christ, or to at least stand with brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, that normal Christian life that we should expect. Wonderfully, we sometimes hear of people who've left IGG and who are genuinely doing that, suffering for the faith, willing to keep going, living by faith, not by sight. But of course, the reality is we also learn of people who go back so keen when they left, and yet they drift. They drift because the pressure, the constant pressure to live for the world is so great. That was certainly true of the original readers. They, it seems, were being tempted to shrink back. They were tempted to throw away their confidence that they had at first. They were tempted to start living now for the world, to go with the flow, to go with things they can see. Well, in 5 years' time, I don't know what you were talking about with your partner, most members of IGG will have left. Most people in our groups will not be in London in 5 years' time. We can be sure, wherever they are in the world, even if they are in London, they will be facing constant pressure. Pressure from the government, especially if they're going back to the typical places that guys go back to within IGG. I mean, obviously, somewhere like China, there's lots of pressure. But Singapore, increasing pressure. Malaysia, lots of pressure. If we're sending back disciple-making disciples of all nations, even people who come from an Islamic background. Pressure from the government. Pressure from family. Pressure from work. Family, guys going back and making the most of being single for Christ. And all the expectations of family. Those who are married, those who end up having children, the pressure to live for this world in the way they bring up their children. Pressure to live for the world. Pressure not only from outside, but pressure that comes from themselves. Pressure to be a Christian, but to gain the world at the same time. Pressure to fulfill the potential of that degree that they picked up in London all those years ago. Pressure to get the prosperity that all these other so-called Christians seem to be having. Why can't I have it too? Pressure to please themselves and give them the pleasure that they're after. Well, it goes without saying, this pressure isn't just waiting for their return. That pressure is right now as people are arriving in Heathrow Terminal. It's interesting, I saw today Friends International. For 20 years now, they've been doing meet and greet in Terminal 3. I was thinking to myself, I bet most people who arrive at IGG arrive at Terminal 5 or Terminal 2. So all these guys are being missed from the wonderful welcome that happens. But it's great that they do it in Terminal 3. I'm sure lots of international students still arrive in Terminal 3. But the point is, right from the very moment they step down into London, they are facing this pressure to live for this world, this pressure to drift. Of course, it's no less true for us as leaders over this coming year. At various points over this year, we're going to begin to doubt our commitment. Why did we agree to lead for another year when we knew what it was like? Or perhaps you're leading for the first time and you'll come to see what a big commitment it is, and you'll just think, oh, really? Constant pressure to live for the world. Well, what is the key to IGGers running to the end? How are we going to be like Dean and not like Bolt? Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Original readers, be inspired by the great cloud of witnesses that they've just heard about in chapter 11. The great heroes of the faith. All those wonderful guys from Genesis and beyond. Judges. And in fact, there are a whole load of people that names we don't know, but they've been soared into an incredible faith. People living not for this world. People willing to face the shame of rejection. People willing to make decisions because they've set their hope on the city to come, the city with foundations, that new creation that we're going to be thinking about if we're doing John, the new creation we're definitely going to be thinking about if we're doing Overview over this coming year. Of course, unlike the Old Testament heroes, the original readers, and of course ourselves included, therefore, we look to an even greater hero. And that's chapter 12, verse 2. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Indeed, brothers and sisters, this is the core priority over this coming year. What are we about? We are here as leaders to encourage our groups to look to Jesus. To look to Jesus. Whether we're doing John this year, whether we're doing Overview, this is surely what we're aiming for. To encourage, to exhort our brothers and sisters like us to keep looking to Jesus. This is not just one of the many things to consider, so we're going to put it on Friday evening when people are a little bit tired, and then we'll get on to the really important stuff. Actually, no, this is the really important thing, and then everything else will help us encourage our groups to look to Jesus, to fix our eyes on him. This weekend, we're going to hear many, many responsibilities that we have, things that we need to think about. Please don't leave this weekend thinking, oh, there's so much to think about, it's so complicated. Well, yes, there is a lot to think about, and the SLOB leaders are here to help us to, over the course of the year, to do our job well. And, you know, if we're doing this for the first time, don't worry. There'll be lots that you'll do much better next year if you continue to lead and the year after. And if we've led for many years, well, hopefully we'll make some progress in different areas. But actually, it's pretty uncomplicated. What are we trying to do? We're encouraging our group members to look to Jesus. And so for these remaining minutes, let's notice two things that verse 2 tells us about the Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Firstly, look to Jesus, his example. Did you see his example? Who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross with joy. He endured the ultimate pain, the ultimate shame, the ultimate cost, the helplessness, the loneliness, the abandonment. Something as an IGG leader we will never face. Not just because we can't atone for anyone else's sins, but we're not going to be lonely like that. We've got our SLOB group. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Jesus, he faced the ultimate cost. And yet he did it with such joy. How? How was it possible for Jesus to face such suffering with joy? Well, most of us have been reading John over the summer. At least I hope we have. And what have we seen about Jesus? Jesus, he was committed to going to the cross because he knew that the time, the hour was the moment when he was doing the Father's will. And so with joy, in obedience, he went forward towards Jerusalem. He considered the Father's will. He also considered the future glory where he was heading. He'd come from the Father and he was going to be returning to the Father. And so with real joy, he went to the cross. Well, brothers and sisters, he calls us to walk with him. John chapter 12, do you remember? We're called to hate our life in this world, to not live for this world, to follow him. To forego the glories that are on offer in this world. And I know that many of us here represent potential to get those glories in this world, because many of you are sacrificing a huge amount. You're working in amazing firms, or you're studying for degrees where, you know, if you got that first, it's definitely within your grasp. You might not get it because of your IGG leading commitment. And yet there's that, wow, the glory is on offer. Are we going to be willing with joy to go the way of the cross? You might get the first. That'd be a wonderful thing. If the Lord wants you to get it, I'm sure he'll give it to you. But if you're going to lead IGG this year, it will be costly. But brothers and sisters, please, let's not do it begrudgingly. Let us consider him. Look to him, his example. Many of the group members will come to London, especially if they're freshers, and or they're new here working in London, and they won't be clear on these convictions that we've heard many, many times before, that it's suffering now and glory to come. They'll be thinking that maybe they've been part of churches back home where it's be a Christian but also have the world at the same time. We need to encourage them to look to Jesus, his example. And that will be what will keep them going over the years to come and stop them from looking to the world, to live for the world. God willing, with John's gospel as their guide, they're going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. But what's going to keep them abiding in Jesus' words as the pressure builds? And what about ourselves? What's going to keep us going over this year? Lots of sacrifices. Another slob study to go to. Another weekend away to go on. What's going to keep us from being begrudging in our counting the cost? Well, what an example we have in Jesus. Guys, let's keep spurring each other on this year. Look to Jesus. If we sense someone in our small group, you know, we're having a kind of, we're being honest with one another, we're finding it hard, why not remind each other? Do you remember at the beginning of the year? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus's example. He knew the scale of sacrifice that lied before him. And yet, with joy, with real joy, he endured the cross. From what he said in John and the other Gospels, we know that he was meditating on the Psalms as he hung on that cross, including Psalms 22, Psalm 110. And therefore, he knew that his suffering would lead to his exaltation. He knew that it was going to lead to his glory. Do you remember John 17? He knew this was the moment of glory. Well, that moves us nicely onto the second point, his exaltation. What does the end of verse 2 say? Despising the shame, Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, let me ask, what is Jesus doing right now? Imagine we had the latest VR technology. We put on the helmet. We look around. Where would we see Jesus right now? Well, yes, he is in Ashburnham by his Spirit. We know that from John, don't we? But Jesus, his body, his person, where is Jesus physically? Well, according to John, again, we know Jesus has returned to the Father. He's waiting to come again. Well, if we're going to help IGGers realize where Jesus is right now, they need to know what? That he has sat down at the right hand. He's sat down at the right hand. Two things, very briefly. He's the eternal priest. That's why he's sat down. Because his job is finished. Job done. He doesn't need to keep getting up and offering sacrifices. The cross, job done. He was the Passover lamb, finished. This year, in future years, members of our groups, we ourselves, we're going to mess it up. We're going to keep messing it up. We're going to make decisions that we'll regret. More importantly, we'll need to repent. And yet we can always come back to the cross. We look to Jesus. We see where he is right now. He is the eternal priest. And when we feel keenly the sin that so easily clings so closely, verse 1, well, we look to Jesus. We see the finished work of atonement, and we're encouraged to keep going. We don't need to do any other sacrifices. He's done it all. He's sat down. He's the eternal priest. He's also the ultimate king. He's sat down, and one day all his enemies will be under his feet. He's already, we know, way above all authority and power. And this is not a footrest because he's tired. This is conquering. This is subjugation of his enemies. He is the ultimate king who will one day return to judge. And so as we're encouraged to look to Jesus and his exaltation, and we see he's at the right hand of the Father, we know he'll come again as judge. And therefore, of course, we're not going to live for this world now because he's going to judge us. But more importantly, he's going to judge all these other people who don't know King Jesus. And so they need to be friends of Jesus. And so we invest our lives in encouraging others to be disciples of Jesus. And so we become disciple-making disciples, not just ourselves, but the guys in our groups. No wonder those original readers were being exhorted to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. As they were tempted to shrink back, to throw away what they already had, look to Jesus. Well, some of us are new to the IGG leaders team. This weekend, lots of new things. Above all, guys, look to Jesus and get your group looking to Jesus. Others of us who've been doing this for years, like myself, let me ask, how have we been doing over the last year or so of IGG at encouraging our group members to look to Jesus. If we were to do a little survey of our group from last year and we said, what is the big thing your leaders are trying to do with you? What would they say? Would they say, to get the big point of the passage? Would they say, I don't know what they'd say, make sure you turn up to a meeting? Or would they say, they really want me to look to Jesus? I said he was in Ashburnham. Ah, sure. Dan, great to see you guys. Wouldn't it be wonderful, guys, this year, I'm going to come to an end very, very soon. Wouldn't it be wonderful this year to send out many Dean Karnazes? Not necessarily well-known Christians, but those who will endure to the end. Those who will be endurance runners, like Dean, and not like Bolt. Running to the end. And of course, Dean doesn't run to the end. He keeps having to stop after 82 hours. We want to be sending guys out who will not stop. Yes, they'll rest. We need to sleep. I hope we'll think about that as a small group, the importance of sleep. We're going to go and do that in a moment. But who will keep running to the end? What we need is not primarily an amazing community. What we need is not even the perfect curriculum. What we need to give IGG is a big vision of Christ. And that's exactly what John's going to give us. That's exactly what the overview will help us with. The author and perfecter of our faith. Check out the John Newton quote on the bottom. I love this one. From one of his famous letters, he writes, "Looking unto Jesus, the duty, the privilege, the safety, the unspeakable happiness of a believer are all comprised in that one sentence, looking unto Jesus." For Newton, looking unto Jesus marks the beginning of the Christian life, the end goal of the Christian life, the daily privilege of the Christian life. And so before we head to bed, let's very briefly turn to the person next to us again. And 1 minute each, something we've been struck with over the last 20 minutes, something we've been struck with. Once you've done that for 2 minutes, let's pray for a couple of minutes. Let's continue in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. Father, thank you that you don't call us into something you haven't yourself already gone through. You've lived in this world with all the pressure, the constant pressure to live for this world. Father, thank you for Jesus' commitment to go to the cross and for his joy in which he did so. Father, thank you that he is now at your right hand. Please help us throughout this year to keep looking to Jesus. And we pray that we'd have many opportunities to encourage members of our groups to also to keep looking to Jesus, that this year would be hugely significant for each one of the people in our groups, that in 5 years' time, in 50 years' time, those who are in our groups this year would, as a result of this year, having been encouraged to keep looking to Jesus, through all their time getting clearer and clearer on your glory as they study John's gospel, please may that equip them as they look at the overview and see your glorious plan and how it all centers on Jesus. That, Father, you would equip us to keep looking to Jesus for the rest of our days, to run with endurance right to the end. Father, we need your help. We're so weak and sinful, but we thank you that you've given us everything we need to live by faith, to keep looking to Jesus. Pray this weekend would help us to that end. And so pray that you'd give us some good rest now. Thank you so much for the kindness of Ashburnham looking after us this weekend. Pray that you'd be with them too, that they would keep looking to Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.